You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
The Skeena River is one of the most important salmon-bearing rivers in Canada. Provincial and federal governments could soon approve two industrial projects along its watershed. Last summer, Ali Howard, who is a member of the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition from Telqua, BC, toured communities along the 600 kilometers of the Skeena from its source at the Sacred Headwaters to the Pacific at Port Edwards. She didn't drive or paddle the route, but swam. Ali Howard joins me this morning. Hello, Ali. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
What made you decide to swim the Skeena?
Well, I was presented with the opportunity by the director of Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition, Shannon McPhail, and it was the opportunity of a lifetime. I don't think anybody would have turned down that kind of adventure, but the real reason that I did it is because I'm inspired by where I live and by the people who live in this community and wanted to do something to repay their kindnesses and to show that I care about where I live.
How did the actual experience of swimming the river compare with what you imagined when you were preparing for the trip?
Everything that we did leading up to the trip ensured its success, but the trip was so much greater than the sum of its parts. It really started to take on a magical and enchanted kind of quality partway through the swim because everything fell into place. Anything we needed, if we thought about it, the next day it would materialize, from the weather being amazing to us being loaned a war canoe for the lower half of the river by the artist Roy Henry Vickers. Everything fell into place, so it exceeded all of our expectations, and certainly the community attendance exceeded all of our expectations. We had two goals in undertaking the swim. One was to call awareness to the industrial threats that you mentioned in your introduction and unite communities along the river in a celebration of the watershed that they live in and in a discussion, a dialogue about what they want for the future of the river and the watershed. So In that way, we certainly exceeded our goals and expectations because people came out in droves, and there's still momentum surrounding the swim. People are still doing things.
When we say that you swam the river, what did that look like? Because the trip took 28 days. What did you do in a typical day? Did you swim for part of the day, all of the day? How did that work?
We actually spent 25 days swimming and 26 days on the river. And we could have gone faster, but it was never for speed. It was never about Ali Howard conquering the Skeena. It was always about working for and with the river. So we had the mandate of stopping in each community along the Skeena and spending time with the people there. So if it only took me an hour and a half that day to get from one community to the next, we stopped and engaged with the people in that community and camped in their community overnight. So some days I had to swim 45 kilometers, some days it was 15. So, yeah.
Wow, you must be a good swimmer.
I'm a strong swimmer, yeah, and I enjoyed it. Every day was amazing. Every day I was curious about what the landscape was going to bring because the Skeena, as you mentioned, is over 600 kilometers long. It's the second longest river in British Columbia, and there are many different ecosystems along it. So for me to be in the water and see the landscape changing every day, I was really curious and excited to be out on the river every day and seeing how a river develops and becomes. I mean, it started off as a small trickle, not more than a meter wide, and it widens out to almost 4 kilometers at its mouth. So it was a brilliant trip and a brilliant experience.
Wow, that just sounds amazing. What were you trying to accomplish by taking that swim?
Okay, so I mentioned a couple of industrial threats, including Royal Dutch Shell's proposed coalbed methane sequestering at the Sacred Headwaters. And it's called the Sacred Headwaters because the Naas, the Stikine, and the Skeena, so three of British Columbia's most important rivers, most important wild salmon rivers, all have their genesis in the same geographic area. You could walk to their sources in about 2 days. fun. It's just a geographic quirk, but it makes that area, and to give reference for your listeners, it's below the Spitzizi Plateau, just south of the Spitzizi Plateau or southeast of Iskut. It makes that area uniquely vulnerable in that anything that happens in that sacred headwaters has the potential to devastate three major watersheds and major rivers. So that project in particular was one that I object to. I just don't think it's well conceived. And then the other goal of SWIM, as I mentioned, was to unite communities within the watershed. And as kind of a call to action of don't take for granted where we live. We live in one of the most amazing places in the world. The Skeena watershed is one of the largest watersheds in the world. It's one of the largest undammed watersheds left in the world. It has one of the largest intact predator-prey systems. It has a whole bunch of things going for it. And we're managing things really well right now in that people, we've achieved a type of balance in harmony with people living with nature, and we don't want that balance disrupted by ill-conceived projects.
What are the threats that you see coming from that potential coal bed methane development?
So coal bed methane is one of the most invasive gas sequestering projects. For every well, there needs to be two pipelines, one for water and one for the gas out, a road in. So it would put within, that shelves 10 years, about 1 million acres right in the sacred headwaters. So it encompasses those three, the source of all three rivers. And it could have the potential to have up to 5,000 wells within that area. But incredibly invasive, it would certainly destroy salmon habitat and also reroute the largest migration of woodland caribou in the province. So there are a number of reasons not to do it. But and simply put, any type of development at the head of a river, if it goes awry, would affect the entire river system because water travels downstream. So that's the easiest way to think of it, I feel.
There's also the proposed Enbridge pipeline. What kinds of concerns did you hear from communities about that proposed pipeline?
Yeah, so the Enbridge pipeline would bisect the very southern perimeter of the Skeena watershed, and it would also bring tankers to the coast. And people are really concerned about that because the potential for an Exxon disaster is there, and people are worried about it.
Mm. Now, I want to come back to your swim. When you were traveling from community to community, going down the river, what would happen generally when you arrived in a community?
Well, we weren't sure what was going to happen. For the first bit, we were 14 days totally isolated. Because there aren't any roads, there aren't any villages in the upper half of the Skeena. So we spent 14 days on our own without seeing anybody, and we didn't know what was happening on the ground. We had people putting together some community celebrations, but we had asked permission to enter communities and to camp in communities, but we weren't sure what each community was going to do because we left the celebration up to them. We didn't want to orchestrate it ourselves. And with each community that we visited, there was a different, joyous, proud celebration. And in some of the smaller communities, when you're thinking of Gitpugukla, for instance, the tiny community between Hazelton and Terrace, Hazelton and Kitwanga, it's a small, economically very poor community. And we had one of the most amazing celebrations there because almost the entire village came down to meet us on the river. They drummed for us. They drummed us to sleep. Just an incredibly rich community as far as pride and generosity. It was really outstanding in every community. We enjoyed an amazing celebration, and it was really heartening to see so many people come out and to meet us on the river and to celebrate with us, because that's what we had asked. That was one of the main objectives of the swim, So that was fantastic.
And do you think this effect of celebrating with people and kind of linking up the communities along the river as they are linked with by the river, but also kind of by your swim, do you think that's helped in a way to kind of organize against these threats to the river?
Oh, certainly. Early on in the planning for the swim, I was asked, well, why swim? Well, nobody was going to get behind a jet boat screaming up the Skeena to call awareness to industrial threats, but the idea of a woman putting herself in the river and following the migratory path of the salmon was something that could capture the public's imagination. So certainly people rallied around my swimming and became more informed and more aware of what's going on in their area. And remember, too, that this is a really proud community. The Skeena watershed has already achieved a moratorium on coal bed methane development in the Sacred Headwaters. The government last year, it's just a year into the 2-year moratorium, approved a moratorium on Shell's plans because of public outcry. What we wanted to do was keep momentum going and keep the profile up that this isn't going to go away. Shell is going to come out swinging next year and really have people become informed and proud. And what people responded with was that coal bed methane, unanimously, we heard this across every community, coal bed methane, bad idea. So that was heartening to hear.
What can people do to push the government to stop the Enbridge pipeline and the coal bed methane project that's proposed for the Sacred Headwaters?
Even something as simple as writing a letter to your minister, your MLA, the more public opposition they receive, the more they're going to listen. Because the government isn't trying to make the wrong decision. They're trying to do right by their constituents, but they don't always have all of the information. So that's one of SWCC's mandates, is to get out in the field, out on the ground, and document salmon runs that, say, the DFO didn't know existed, or archive some of the cultural heritage sites that exist within the Skeena watershed. So that's something that we do as an organization, but something as simple as writing a letter or making a phone call, it all adds up.
Well, thank you very much for telling us your story and about the river this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time.
I've been speaking with Allie Howard from the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition about her swim this summer. And the coalition's website is at skeenawatershed.com.